So welcome to the committee of the whole meeting for February 16th. No, February. Oh, my God.
It's chilly, Kath. It's not that cold.
October 16th. I don't even know where that came from. Yeah, a little after 7. I'll ask the clerk to take the roll call, please.
Trustee Corsini.
Here.
Trustee Cargi.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez. Trustee Conti. Trustee Hennick.
Here.
Trustee Gibbs.
Here.
President Aduce.
Here. Did Russ say here?
No.
No.
Okay. Hey, Russ.
Motion to allow Trustee Vasquez to participate telephonically.
Okay.
Second.
All right. So, Russ, you're here, and now you've been ask the.
You need a voice vote, Kath.
Yeah. Ask the trustees if they agree. Vote.
Can it be an all in favor?
All in favor.
Aye.
Opposed?
Motion passed.
All right, so you can join us. Welcome.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, so we are here. I think we have only one issue before us, and this is our time to hear John and his team talk about the comprehensive plan and get our input and ask any questions that you feel is appropriate or like to ask, and we'll go from there. So, Eric, is there anything you want to? Okay. So, John, welcome.
All right, thanks.
Can you just make sure you use the microphone?
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
So
all right. For the record, John Housefield, I'm the Village's planning consultant, and Housefield Levine has been fortunate enough to be selected to assist the Village with the preparation of its new comprehensive plan or updated comprehensive plan. And when we started the process, I've got two people here with me from my office. I've got Mohit and Paul from our office who are going to be working with me, as well as everybody else in our shop. But you may see the three of us driving around taking pictures and other stuff. You may have already seen some of that, so don't call the cops. But I want to go through this evening real quickly the scope of work. I want to sort of discuss about what a comprehensive plan is and isn't. I want to field any questions that you may have, and I want to take you through just a real quick workshop exercise and ask you some questions that we've already asked the Plan Commission. There's similar questions to some of what we asked at the food truck event.
Mm-hmm.
We will be asking residents at large, we will be asking business owners, and we will be asking students the same question. So the value in that is I can say fifth graders when asked this question said X, Y, and Z. When I asked the trustees, they said this. So it's interesting to sort of see what business owners, residents at large, elected officials. And then Thursday, we have a workshop with all the boards and commissions. So anybody who serves in an appointed capacity for the Village on any one of the boards and commissions will be, I will walk them through the same process to sort of hear what they have to say is most important. So it won't be a long meeting or anything like that, but when we start a project, you're the policymakers and the decision makers. So it's important for you to know what we're getting into and to get your perspective on things right off the bat. So before we start, and most of you have known me for years, but before we start, the purpose of a comprehensive plan, as I see it, is it's a foundation for decision making. It's not regulatory like zoning. It does not dictate what you can and cannot do with a piece of property. But when somebody comes in front of the DRB and proposes a development, when the Village considers doing a zoning code amendment to have zoning better serve as a tool to get things accomplished in terms of land use and development, it may help you to prioritize CIP investments. As to what sort of infrastructure may be prioritized by residents or by yourselves. But it's a foundation for decision making. So no matter what comes before you, the Plan Commission, the Zoning Board, the DRB, Eric, Lisa, John, and the rest of Village staff, developers who may be proposing something, or a local home buyer or local realtor, this should serve as a foundation to help make informed decisions uniformly across all platforms. It's meant to provide sort of continuity over a 10-year plus period from administration to administration, so that regardless of who sort of sits at the helm, the Village can begin to continually and incrementally achieve its aspirations, but not losing focus on what's most important. So it's a pretty important document. It's given authority through the Standard State Enabling Planning Act, and in Illinois, all comprehensive plans are required by the state of Illinois for municipalities, I think of 10,000 people or above. Almost everybody has them, even the smaller communities. And there are a few required components you have to have. You have to address land use. You have to address transportation. And over the years, comprehensive plans have become much more than they ever used to be. They used to be called land use plans. And they literally were a map. This is residential, this is commercial, this is industrial. And then a gentleman named T.J. Kent came along about 100 years ago, and our land use plans became general plans. And it was basically a hybrid of transportation and land use. And those were the only two elements. And now comprehensive plans are truly comprehensive. They address arts and culture. In Oak Park, it addressed governmental excellence, education. Common ones are parks and open space, environmental features, active transportation, that's bike and ped, community facilities, infrastructure, and on and on and on. So they can really be comprehensive documents. The scope of work for this project is going to take about a year to complete. Is project initiation, that's a kickoff with village staff. We've already conducted that. Meetings with the village board, meeting with the plan commission, and meeting with all the boards and commissions. Those will be wrapped up this week. That's the first sort of section. The next section is community outreach. We'll be engaging the residents and stakeholders throughout every step of the process. But at the beginning, you have a whole bunch of it right up front to sort of let people know what's going on, get their opinion up front. Not when they have something to react to, but just based on questions. What do you think is important? What do you think we should be working on? Later on in the process, when we engage residents, we'll have something for them to react to. Here's some ideas for Madison Street. What do you think? Here's some things we might want to consider as goals and objectives. What do you think? But they'll be reacting to things. The first round is they're not reacting, they're just providing raw input. So it's a different type of outreach. So we'll be having a town hall or a community workshop. We'll be working with John, Lisa, and Eric to schedule those. They haven't been scheduled yet. That's an hour and a half, 7 to 8:30 some evening. We'll be conducting a business workshop for all business owners and operators, developers, and commercial property owners in town. That is held in the morning, usually from 8 to 9 o'clock in the morning, because business owners will give you an hour at the beginning of the day, give them coffee and donuts. They are less likely to give you an hour in the evening after working all day here locally. So a business workshop will be scheduled in the morning, and we'll make efforts to make sure every business owner in the village is invited. Specifically, we'll be identifying several different individuals and groups to interview. This is where sort of a homework assignment number one. If you think there's an individual or a group that we ought to be sitting down with one-on-one in a room and just picking their brains for an hour, let staff know who those people are, who those groups might be. There are some things you just don't get out of a public forum, but if you sit down with somebody one-on-one, they'll tell you everything you need to hear. So if you have any ideas on who those confidential interviews ought to be, let staff know and they'll turn it on to us. We'll be meeting with Oak Park, Forest Park, Chicago, Elmwood Park, Maywood, and Melrose Park to talk about any planning issues that may be on the perimeters of their communities. I've got a good working relationship with all of those communities, so we should be in good shape there. We want to identify through the course of the next year community events that we can attend. We did an event and attend at the food truck rally with some surveys. Saw a couple of you there. I even talked with Eric about potentially hijacking the Flamingo Fridays, but I don't think he wanted me to do that. So I'm thinking, like, you know, bring your own booze, fill out a questionnaire, get some good responses.
You're a resident.
We want to identify over the course of the year different events at different times where we can engage people that are gathering anyway. It's a good casual way to begin to do that. We have a thing called the Do-It-Yourself Workshop Kit. A lot of times a community might say, you know, I don't need a consultant running a workshop. I don't need staff coming in and running a workshop. I've been meeting with the same St. Luke's Bible study group for the last 20 years, and I can conduct a workshop with these people, and we'll tell you what we come up with. Well, we think that's a great sort of an approach. So we've developed these do-it-yourself workshop kits, where if you request one from the village, we will give you a self-contained manila envelope with everything in it, the little golf pencils, the instructions, the poster to put on your door so people know what room to go in. And in 1 hour with 20 to 25 people, you can conduct your own workshop and then turn all the results back into us, and we'll incorporate it just as if it was a workshop we did. And sometimes these don't get much traction, and sometimes we have hundreds of these done. So it just depends on the community. And then we'll be integrating through the city's, the village's website. Online, there is an online, has anybody been to the project website yet? It's going to get launched a little bit more effectively, I think, pretty soon. But there's an online mapping tool on there called map.social, where you can begin to map any issues, aspirations, redevelopment opportunity sites, anywhere you want in the village. We can crowdsource and tie all those points back to the village's GIS database mapping system. And we can do like hotspot analysis and other things to figure out where the biggest areas of issue are by category. It's a pretty cool tool. And then we have a series of online questionnaires for residents, online questionnaires for business owners, and then an online questionnaire designed specifically for youth and students. So that they can engage as well. We'll be doing a detailed existing conditions analysis, transportation, land use, zoning analysis, market analysis. We're going to be dovetailing our efforts with Ehlers and Jennifer Tamman, who's doing some economic development work with the EDC on some of the key sites in the community, looking at facilities, infrastructure, parks, and open space. We'll be also taking a hard look. We'll be doing a visioning workshop in the middle of the process. That may be the longest and most engaging meeting, but we're breaking it down into two different sections, one for the village as a whole, and then another component of the workshop will focus just on the key corridors, because that's the biggest areas of change. So residential neighborhoods are not going to change much. They shouldn't. They won't. The character of those is pretty well established. The corridors could change significantly, so there'll be detailed breakout sessions just to talk about that. Will we then be preparing corridor and village center detailed sub-area plans to replace the corridors study that was done not that long ago. And it will also include sort of a village center area. This study, I keep pointing to this plaque, this study, the corridor study, looked at North Avenue, Harlem, and Madison. And for Lake Street, it only looked at parking. That was the scope of whatever was done. But we'll be looking at the village center area between Lathrop and all the way down to Keystone and Keystone Park to look at the redevelopment area that's primarily exists between Park and Lathrop and those areas that you're already looking at. We'll then do so detailed sub-area plans for the corridors and village center. We'll then move into village-wide plans, land use, transportation, active transportation. We'll be developing a detailed bike plan as part of this. A lot of the vehicular components are in place. Street system is 100% set up. We'll be looking at some of the hot spots, but there's no mystery to a lot of the street system. But what we've heard a lot of anecdotally, even conversation about already, is can we get more bike trails? Can the streets be a little bit safer? Can we engage in the forest preserve with more formalized trails? Can we do? We've heard just on and on and on. So as part of our effort, we're going to be working with KLOA Engineering, and they're going to be working with us to do a transportation plan and an active transportation plan, which is walking and biking, to try to come up with a more detailed bike plan for the entire village.
And just to piggyback on that, to be clear, our efforts will be focused on our own internal network within the village and connecting to other networks.
Right.
The North Central Council of Mayors is studying the Des Plaines River Bike Trail from essentially Rosemont through River Forest. And then the Forest Preserve District received a grant from CMAP to study from River Forest all the way down to Ogden Avenue.
Right.
So those focus on the Des Plaines River Trail. We're not getting into the River Trail.
Correct.
Looking at connecting the River Trail, but other entities are studying those legs. So just
exactly right.
We know what the scope is about.
Yeah, we're real careful when we do municipal planning to not sort of cross into jurisdiction and have their own authority to do their stuff, and the Forest Preserve District is one of those. The nice thing now is a lot of entities have the funding to begin to look at those, and that opportunity is perfect for us to see how we can't tie into that, because the biggest gap in the Illinois Prairie Path right now is this section. It's just a gap in the smile. So, and then we'll be developing those plans and policies, transportation, active transportation, and then the last section will be sort of detailed implementation strategies. So the folks we have working with us, it's Housley Levine is the lead. We have KLOA to help with transportation engineering and active transportation, the bike plan. We're going to be working with Gary Kinneen when we engage the Sustainability Committee, just so we have people talking the same sort of language. And we're not looking to adopt anybody else's policy on sustainability, but we want to make sure that we incorporate it appropriately for River Forest and what we're trying to achieve as a community. And then we're also going to be dovetailing with the economic development efforts of Ehlers as they work with the EDC and some of the key sites in the community. So that's the team, and that's sort of roughly the process that we're going to be going through.
Hey, John,
yeah.
I gave you that brochure. Now, are you familiar with the Active Transit Alliance?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so is that something that you'll work with, or is that something, I don't even...
Yeah, when there's a lot of, we're lucky, Chicago has a lot of great players in active transportation and a lot of organizations that are existing, so we'll work with them to find out best practices and see if they have any plans within this area of the region. We don't want to duplicate anything. We just have to look at a level of detail that those agencies probably didn't for River Forest. But as Eric indicated, the key to transportation systems is connecting to something. And if you're not, you know, we've all been on a bike where we're biking somewhere. The worst is when you're like pulling a burly or got your kid behind you in tow and you're on a bike path or a sidewalk, and then you come to an intersection, you look across the street, and there's like a guardrail. There's like, there's no place to go. It doesn't connect to anything. So the key is connecting to everything. So yeah, we'll look at all that.
Awesome.
So before we get into the questionnaires, again, tonight's meeting won't be very long, which is probably good for a board meeting. Does anybody have any questions for me at all about any aspect of the process, what we're going to do, what we're not going to do, what should be in the plan, what the plan is, what the plan isn't, anything at all? Here's your shot to ask me any question you've ever wanted to ask.
Jen, on the transportation portion,
yep.
This is something actually Eric raised with me on Friday. I think it's a good point. Our approach to traffic control is somewhat piecemeal. People come right. in and they say, you know, we want a stop sign here.
Right.
Will it incorporate sort of a plan for that, you know, transportation? One, sort of cataloging what our current right. state of transportation issues are, but then also making suggestions or recommendations as to what we shouldn't be doing, what we should be doing.
Yeah, exactly that, yes. Okay. The beginning part, and I sort of glossed over it. One of the key things, again, you've heard me say this before. If you have, I apologize. But planning is really only has to do three things. It doesn't have to be overly complicated. Sometimes consultants and try to make it a bit more complicated. But you have to understand where you are right now. And that's the good, the bad, the ugly. It's got to be an honest conversation. Once you know where you are, you've got to determine where you want to go. And once you determine where you want to go, you got to determine exactly what you have to do to get there. That's it. I mean, it's more nuanced to deliver that, but those are the three steps. So as part of that first piece about knowing where we are now, that's when we do all the massive outreach to find out where people's thoughts are. The other part is that detailed inventory, market, zoning, infrastructure, land use, zoning, and transportation is one of those. So we will catalog all the existing transportation in the village, stop signs, controlled intersections, non-controlled intersections, problematic hotspots, parking problems, all of that, system-wide. Then when we get into and identify the real what we see as the biggest issues, as well as the opportunities for improvement, that'll all be in that first sort of synthesis piece. That all gets pulled together into what we call an issues and opportunities memo. So we say, here's the biggest issues we have to address. Here's the biggest opportunities that we can build on. Then when we get into the plan development of the plan recommendations, it will include system-wide transportation recommendations and system-wide active transportation or bike and ped improvements. It won't be, this is a problem, so look at that. We're looking at the whole enchilada.
Thank you.
So,
yeah.
I have a question, John.
Yeah, Susan.
Maybe you said that, but are you going to be talking also to the other tax committees about what's happening within District 90, their projections for students, or for the township, or for the Community Center Park District?
Absolutely. And typically what we do, we typically do that a couple of different ways. In some communities, they don't have an active plan commission or something else. They form a steering committee. And the steering committee will often be comprised of a lot of different members of the community. Often other taxing bodies have a seat at the table. Where communities have a plan commission or some other formal body to shepherd it through, like here, we use those key person interviews or those group interviews where I said, you know, identify the people or groups you should be sitting down with one-on-one at a table and talking to for an hour or two. That's usually where you get the school districts or the park districts or the township or whatever else. So in addition to meeting with all the adjacent communities, usually a portion of those key person interviews or focus group discussions, a portion of those are typically peeled off for other taxing bodies. So we can sit down with District 90 and get into the weeds on anything they want to share with us and how we might be able to dovetail and piggyback. And yeah.
Okay.
So that's usually a chunk of the key person interviews and focus groups is that group.
Okay.
Then, John, along with that, so like a more regional approach too. I know we talked about CMAP with the transportation study, but you know, obviously they do have a 5 and 10 year plan.
Right.
Will we somehow at least review what they're working on and what they have as a comprehensive plan?
For CMAP, did you say?
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. We
okay.
do. We work, we're one of the most prominent planning firms that works with CMAP and their LTA program. LTA program is the Local Technical Assistance Program. Through CMAP's LTA program, working with CMAP staff, we've done planning and zoning and assignments all over CMAP's jurisdiction. Their last regional comprehensive plan is called Go To 2040. It's been out for quite a while. They're currently working on To 2050. It's the clever naming. But On To 2050 is in development right now. It's not adopted yet. But whenever we do any planning at the municipal level, we see what the regional objectives are to see if there's a dovetailing that should fit there. So we work closely with CMAP on all of our studies as well. Right.
Recently, we've been talking about parking just south of North Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Census is going to take a long time, and it's pretty comprehensive. I'd be curious to know what the people in the furthest northern block all along North Avenue feel about the existing parking regulations and if what's there now is working or if they have any ideas about making it more user-friendly, for lack of better words. We've been dealing with Ashland because of the new Loyola building.
Right.
But for those of us that have lived here way too long, the Mercury Theater back in the day was the reason why Bonnie Bray and Clinton Place had all the parking restrictions at North Avenue.
Yep.
Well, the theater's been gone for 30 years.
Right.
So I'm just curious if the people along that part of town feel that those restrictions are necessary or unwanted, for lack of better words. So I know with the corridor study, but also with the TIF planning, there's going to be some pretty serious changes if,
right.
you know, if and when that trigger gets pulled.
Right.
But in the meantime, we know from Lake Street, the TIF plan took a long time. But if we can address, you know, make it more, for lack, again, of better words, Elmwood Park side's getting pretty busy. Crossing North Avenue is like Frogger.
Brutal.
To get to those restaurants. And if people are parking on the River Forest side, is it an inconvenience for the River Forest residents?
Right.
So, you know, North Avenue's changing a little. And I think I'd like to know if it's in a condition now versus future.
That's a sort of wholesale approach to these issues we want to begin to address, not as they come up because of its impending development. You know, you look at the north side of North Avenue up in Elmwood Park, every other street's a one-way in the opposite direction. It allows them to get angled parking going in. You know, not that I've ever taken a right on Lathrop and a left into Johnny's Beef, but I can imagine if you do that on a regular basis, it could be kind of dicey. But you know, they use the alleys as a cut-through back there behind Alpine and Johnny's or whatever. But it's a configuration that I don't know that whatever it would never work in River Forest. I've got to think the one-way, the angled parking, that's an intensification of those neighborhoods. But Trustee Gibbs asked good questions. What about the parking restrictions that might have been established for some reason that doesn't exist anymore? He talked about, you know, could the parking restriction or could the parking be more user-friendly? You know, user-friendly for residents or user-friendly for the businesses because they're not mutually exclusive or they're often mutually exclusive. But we have to begin to address those issues if one of the major tenants is going to be economic development opportunities on all the corridors. We have to balance the fact that the corridors are the biggest economic engine, but they're immediately adjacent to established residential neighborhoods, and that's not an easy juxtaposition to manage. So we'll be looking to answer your question. We'll be looking at all those in a holistic fashion, not piecemeal.
Well, you talked about you touched on the angled parking. I think one question that I'd like answered is, are parkways more important to the residents than parking? Again, using the Loyola, for example,
right.
If we got rid of that grassy parkway area and put 5 parking spots there, is that a better use of that 50 feet?
Who would the parking be for? Would it be for businesses or would it be for the residents?
Well, the residents along that street are concerned that Loyola people are parking on the street. So
right.
If all of a sudden the parkway goes away and there's 5 spots, well, 5 diagonal spots versus 5 nose-to-tail spots
right.
is a considerably less distance
I agree.
To be taken up by parked yeah. cars. So, that's the stuff that I'm hoping.
Yeah, no, we'll examine all that. And one of the things, if you look at the corridor study, you know, Eric and I have sort of chatted about this, it ends unceremoniously abruptly on the last page. If you didn't know anybody, you'd think that there was something right behind that page. Well, there was. There was a graphic and numbers that would show how the townhouse development immediately east of CVS could be completely reconfigured so none of those driveways opened up onto North Avenue. And it would look like a real attractive gateway. And it required some, you know, a little bit of manipulation of the right-of-way, some tying into the street to whatever. I thought it was a really creative solution. And at the hearing where that plan was adopted, part of the adoption recommendation was to eliminate the last page. And that's where all that stuff existed. So we'll try to look at, so that was an attempt to try to look at it on a holistic basis. So you're exactly right. We'll look at all that. We will look at all that. And the corridors are going to be the what's going to drive a lot of that discussion.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've already taken away right turns going south off of North Avenue.
Right.
So you talked about Elmwood Park using a one-way street
right.
to get Fishbone parking. We've already taken away the one direction heading south at the
right.
north end of the block. So.
Right. Yeah, I think in general, if you drive on the perimeter corridors and look at the commercial development along a lot of it, it's not reflective of the character of the village. I guess that's the easiest way for me to put it. So there's real tremendous opportunity, I think, for some economic injection on those corridors. But it's not easy. I think that the thing that you can best define development now is if it's easy, it's been done. What's left to do is not the easy stuff. And I think the corridors is a perfect example of that. So.
Go ahead.
So how? So now we're, I mean, obviously we're embarking on our North Avenue TIF process. Mm-hmm. How do you see these two processes kind of marrying together, or one coming before the other, or sort of helping, you know, us work through that as far as a vision perspective?
Yeah. The timing is perfect. I worked with the village a little bit on the, when they were establishing the TIF for Madison Street and some of the what that would end up shaping up like. The state legislation that requires a TIF redevelopment plan with part of TIF approval is a pretty bare bones minimum plan. It's often a black and white crummy map that has like a hatch, you know, mixed use redevelopment hatch over the whole area. This will provide a lot more specificity for the corridor. So when the TIF is established and increment starts to be established, it'll have much clearer direction as to what those TIF funds can be used to spur a much more detailed plan than would otherwise exist. So the timing should be real good.
Okay. Yeah,
timing should be perfect.
And I would just maybe dovetail on that and say that the TIF plans that are required under state law, as John pointed out, get into more of the mere qualification and right. set up for that financing tool, which is a big component about it. I think I know one thing the EDC has been talking about and through the comp plan is that how do we develop those strategies right on a going forward basis, and so that's what you're going to see more in this.
Right, that's exactly right. What's required in the TIF is the redevelopment plan is basically a map with a little bit of narrative. This will provide the strategies on how to use those funds to really sort of ignite the private sector, as I like to put it. So,
Jen, I remember about a year ago when there was the big hubbub about our not having a plan for affordable housing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to be incorporated? Will there be something like that in this?
We will be addressing that. It may be addressed in tangent to this, as opposed to typically affordable housing. The community needs to have an affordable housing plan on how it's going to address it. It's a requirement in the state.
Yeah.
Usually affordable housing plans are standalone documents. They're not in the comprehensive plan. That said, we're going to work on developing an affordable housing plan, which would be adopted outside the comprehensive plan. But where appropriate, some of those policies could be echoed or somewhere located in the plan to reflect those the outside plan's policy. So it'll be developed as a separate document, but some of those could be carried over into some of the policies that you might see in the comprehensive plan. Separate document, but it could carry over.
Yeah.
So we'll be doing that as well.
John, when you talk about the focus groups, do you try and target neighborhoods? Particularly, I'm thinking Madison North Avenue again, as we're thinking about that redevelopment, engaging
right.
those neighbors to get a better sense of what do you want to see, what don't you want to see, before we have some come in and...
Right. The first round of outreach, when we say we want to target stakeholder interviews or focus groups, that is not typically not a geographic area of a community this small. Usually that would be like a focus group might be a group of local business owners, but we're going to have a separate business workshop. It may be the school district wants to send two teachers, a principal, and a school board member. So it's a focus group just to talk about all the issues of the school. So it's usually not a geographic area for a community like this. At the midpoint process, we're going to be having visioning workshops for the corridors as well as the village as a whole. So that way we're going to say, hey, we're looking at beginning to sort of develop along North Avenue. You know, please come to the workshop because they're going to be talking specifically about what's going on North Avenue. So we'll have workshops in mid-process to begin to talk about that. But through the surveys, the earlier workshops, and the online stuff, any issues with North Avenue, we hope will come to the surface so that we can prepare for those mid-cycle workshops. So there'll be a few different options or opportunities for people to weigh into those geographic-specific things.
Yeah. Do you envision the corridor plan that'll be incorporated within this study to differ drastically from the 2010 plan?
May not dramatically, but I think maybe a little bit.
Because that anticipated TIFs, right? The 2010
plan? It recommended that the village investigate TIFs. Yeah, that's where some of that came up, was the plan that we did back then. But we also looked at some, you know, incentives for development that weren't driven by TIFs as options. Like, for instance, we developed a thing called alley shifting. I don't know if anybody saw it or not, but or cul-de-sac. Like, say, if you cul-de-sac Franklin at Madison and went back one block deep or 125 feet deep and cul-de-sac that. So say Franklin didn't go to Madison, you could put in there like 20 parking spaces. So the property immediately adjacent to that right-of-way could have less parking available on site because the parking would be provided in the cul-de-sac public right-of-way for public uses. So that site could develop a building that could be 28% bigger than it would be otherwise. So there are ways to try to economically incentivize development along the corridors without necessarily requiring money from the village. They could leverage rights of way, alleys, cul-de-sacking, other types of things that they could. So we try to come up with a whole, that's one of the reasons why it won. It came up with these different ways of incentivizing development that didn't cost money. Leveraged assets you already had in terms of rights of way.
But I guess my question is, would you still incorporate those ideas even though we now have the
I think so, money? Yes. We'd want, now that they've redone some work on Madison Street and traffic on North Avenue is bigger or worse than it was before or different, would have KLOA look at those to see if those recommendations still were valid or not. One of the things we do in the investigative phase is we look at all past plans and studies, economic, zoning stuff, development plans, corridor plan, and if anything still merits consideration, it may get carried forward. If it doesn't anymore, it'll drop off. So we'll look at all of it. So a lot of those principles will carry forward. I would imagine a lot of new ones would, but some of them might not carry weight going forward. So. All right?
Okay. One more quick question.
Yeah, sure.
When you mentioned these do-it-yourself
workshop kits, yeah.
Yeah. Is that something you're advocating that board members would be able to do? Or maybe I was a little confused about that.
No, typically what we do, and we first developed them, I first came up with the idea for them when we did a plan probably 12, 13 years ago for Benton Harbor, Michigan. I'm from St. Joe, Michigan. We did their plan, and there's a high level of distrust in the community in general. And a bunch of Chicago consultants coming in didn't fly. The fact that I grew up in St. Joe, and shopped at the JCPenney in downtown Benton Harbor helped a little bit. But this one woman, at the night the city council approved our contract, a woman stood up in the back and she said, don't need a bunch of consultants from Chicago coming into my neighborhood running a workshop. Don't want any of his staff in my neighborhood running workshops. And she literally said, I've had the same Bible study group for the past 30 years. I can run my own workshop. And rather than sort of get a, you know, defensive, I said, you know, that's actually a phenomenal idea. I said, can I meet with you and your friends after the meeting and to hammer out a solution? And what came out of that was the DI do-it-yourself workshop kits, and they ran their own. But a lot of communities that are used to a more formal outreach platform, they don't get picked up, they don't get utilized. But we like to give them. Where they have gotten a lot of traction is in schools. It may very well be that, you know, Mrs. Third Kettle says, or Mrs. Suzuki, although I don't know if she's there anymore, would say, okay, you know, Johnny, next week for your extra credit assignment, you're going to take the class through a workshop for the comprehensive plan. It's going to take 40 minutes, and you're going to run it yourself. You know, here's the workshop kit. Or teachers will take their class through it. So we're getting lots of different people to come up with ways. Church groups do it. School groups do it. Sometimes little business groups do it in a certain district will do it. We don't know who will do it. Could be a neighborhood or a block party that does it. Like I said, sometimes they get traction, sometimes they don't. We just want to make it available. Okay. In communities that are ward specific, not here, we often recommend, and the aldermen often request, they want to run a ward workshop. So we bring them to the work, we bring them to the city council, and we give one to each alderman or alderperson. And then they take it out over the next 2 months, hold their workshops, and they say, here's the Ward 1 workshop, here's the Ward 7 workshop, and we collect one from each ward. So it can be specific to that neighborhood of the city. But here, I wouldn't recommend it. Okay. So. All right. Okay, we're going to hand out, Paul's going to hand out a questionnaire to everybody. And like at school, when you get the paper, don't start filling anything out yet. Wait for instructions, and I'll sort of walk you through this in a little bit. If you need a pen, we've got extra. Trustee Gibbs came prepared. I like that.
John, I do need a pen. I need a pen.
Oh, you need a pen?
There.
Rez is in the building.
Oh.
How are you doing?
At 7:35.
Snuck in there. Hi,
Rez. I don't have to take the test.
Oh, there it is. You take the test. Don't fill anything out yet.
All right. Jack, you have like three extra for the folks.
Yeah, you got it, of course. You can fill them out too if you want. All right, now at the beginning of the process, like I said, we like to ask everybody the same series of questions. And so we do it with the, don't start filling anything out yet. Oh, look at that. See, there's always one. There's always one in every group.
Pay attention.
So overambitious. But when we do this, and the main reason, one of the reasons we've structured it this way is, you know, outreach is only good if it's managed. You know, just to sort of pass around the mic is, you know, rule 101 of outreach is you don't hand the mic over to somebody else. But you also want to prevent someone with an agenda from coming to a meeting and monopolizing the entire thing. That's, you know, as elected officials, you all know you could have a meeting set up to talk about TIF or the bike system or the pension fund, and there's a guy in the audience whose basement flooded, and by God, that's all he's going to talk about, and it doesn't matter what's on the agenda, and he won't let you talk about anything else. So we've structured outreach in a way that allows everybody to participate. It prevents anybody from monopolizing the meeting, and whenever we do outreach, except for the vision workshop in the middle, we don't keep outreach engagements to any longer than 90 minutes at the most, even if there's 300 people in the room. We just don't. Because as exciting as planning and zoning is to me, it's hard to believe, but after an hour and a half of it, some people begin to fade away. So, yeah, right. So, yeah, 20 minutes. So here's what we're going to, so I want you to focus on, and we do the same thing, and when we do the community workshop, you know, hopefully we'll have to hold it at the Willard Auditorium or something, and because we're going to get so many people. But when we do this, Mohit's going to be jotting a few things down on that tablet. When you do it with a big crowd of like 100 or more, you'll see Post-its all over the room. That's sort of the purpose. So I'll take you through the same process we go through with a large group. So the first thing I want you to do is focus on question one, on number one, and only one. Don't answer two, three, or four. And it should say identify five issues or concerns, not three. I want five issues or concerns that you think are facing the village right now. And you don't have to worry about putting them in any certain order of importance, but five of the biggest issues or concerns confronting the village right now. List those on question one, but don't answer anything for two, three, and four, not yet. When you're done, you can set your pen down or put your head on the desk or whatever you want. That'd be great. We try not to hamstring anybody. They can talk. Okay, no. It's whatever with the community issues facing. So you could say like, you know, how you can, you know, too many deer jumping out of the forest preserve on Thatcher at night. Whatever you want to put, you can put. So, you know, we need a dog park or whatever you want. I will be collecting them. You do not have to put your name on it, but I will be collecting them because we're going to be summarizing them. Any workshop we hold, no matter what the group, we summarize the results. We don't say who said what, but we summarize the results of every workshop so people can see what everybody else said as a group, not as an individual. So one of the things I was thinking is it. And you can write as much as you want. Brevity is appreciated. But just question number one. And I'll give you one more minute.
Are you going to check our spelling?
Oh, yeah, it's the first thing we do.
Okay, as long as you don't grade handwriting.
All right, most of you look dumb with question one. Again, we're not going to do the other questions yet. And what we're going to do is we're going to go around the room, and when I call on you, I want you to give me one of the things you wrote down. Not all five, just one of them, any one you want. And when you say it, Mohit's going to jot it down on the sheet of paper, and he may abbreviate it or consolidate it. We just want to get visually, you know, get a sense of what was said. We'll get your answers off your papers. This is just for us to sort of keep track of what was said in abbreviated fashion. And as we go around the room and I call on you, if Trustee Gibbs said, you know, I think we need the biggest dog park in the western suburbs, and that was his biggest issue, when we get to Trustee Hennig, I don't want her to say, well, I think we should have the biggest dog park. I don't want to hear.
That's what
I right.
She wants a bigger dog park.
I don't want to hear.
I want a smaller one.
I don't want to hear an issue repeated. All right. Okay. I only want to hear something for the first time. And as we go around the room, when it was to say we get to Trustee Cargi, he might say, boy, all five of mine are already up there. So if we get to you and all yours have been said, we'll just skip you and go to the next person. And the idea is we work the room until we have the complete list of issues identified. So we're looking for a cumulative list of issues identified by the residents, not by us. And that's sort of the starting point for this. So we'll start on the far. Oh, go ahead.
What's the timeline on this wish list? Is this a short-term thing or a long-term thing?
Well, this isn't a wish list. These are issues that you think are facing the community right now, right?
But to be dealt with short-term or long-term?
It depends on the issue. We don't know yet. Could be both. Could be either. Doesn't matter.
Your dog
park. At the beginning, we don't want to hamstring anybody's feedback. So anything you want to say is fine. So we'll start right over there, Trustee Corsini.
Oh, I'm first.
Yep.
I don't know which one to pick. Okay. Obviously, financial concerns are always my issue. So, just on an ongoing basis, you know, always monitoring our financial needs. For revenues versus expenditures, you know, how are we handling fiduciary responsibility to the taxpayers for the services we offer, and any way we can be innovative.
That's a big one. Let's come about financial responsibility.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Ever increasing taxes.
Increasing taxes. Doesn't take long for that to come up in Cook County too often. All right, so increasing taxes, okay?
Traffic safety, stop signs.
Okay, traffic safety, and you're going to put / stop signs. The hardest thing in these workshops is doing what Mohit is doing now, and that's writing. Because everybody's looking at what you do, so.
His spelling counts.
He has to buy lunch for the office for every misspelled word. Throw out a tough one. All right, President Ducey?
Strengthening property values.
Strengthening property values.
Finding a way to allow our seniors to age in place.
Very good. Aging in place.
I had that too.
Aging in place. Very good. Everybody knows what aging in place is, right? That's a good one. Susan?
Development. For example, how many was optimum condos, apartments, mixed use?
So appropriate mix of development. So in terms of whether it's condominiums or apartments or retail or whatever, just getting it right, okay? All right, Trustee Henning?
Continuing to find ways to improve sustainability, to improve our sustainability efforts.
Very good.
Whether it's even as simple as how do we get more residents to participate in curbside composting.
Right.
To bigger issues as well, right. Obviously.
But I travel across the country and I tell communities that we have curbside trash recycling and composting, and they can't believe they're floored by it. Yeah. Okay. So improve sustainability. Okay, Trustee Gibbs.
Well, I answered these through the eyes of a trustee, and I guess bang for the buck is my catchphrase of best value for public services, police, fire, and public works, and village administration.
Good. Best value for public services. That's good. Peel that one up, Paul, you want to help? Again, sometimes we can do this with a room of 100 people, and we'll get a list of 25 things, and that's it, because everybody agrees on everything. And sometimes we'll get 10 people in the room, we'll have a list of 50 things, because nobody agrees on anything. So, I will keep going around.
Okay. Obviously, updating or continuing to update our infrastructure. We have capital improvement plans, 5 to 10 years. But,
so updating infrastructure, right. Is that okay?
Or maybe how about
maintaining and
updating and maintaining infrastructure in light of declining revenue?
Well, and also, you know, what are our needs? I mean, because my other point with that was, you know, how do we stay relevant and attract new residents and modern business potential,
right,
while maintaining the local character that we have? As far as our historic, you know, housing stock and the small town feel,
you pack a lot into your.
But trying to be attractive and infrastructure, right, is important. So.
I think the key is updating and maintaining, appropriate infrastructure,
right,
and all that
for,
means to be
for everything.
Right. So updating infrastructure, maintaining it. Okay.
The college is tax-free consumption of village services.
College. Okay. So.
The pilot stuff.
Right. Right.
And community versus university needs.
Yeah.
But you're talking about college consumption of services for not, and they're not taxpaying. Okay, so
also managing non-tax paying.
So college consumption of services slash non-tax paying.
I don't think we'll ever get pilot from St. Luke's.
Okay.
Continued vigilance of crime along the Lake Street commercial area.
Okay.
Yeah, not that it's increasing, right? Right,
safety. Okay.
So public safety along Lake Street, is that what you're...
Right.
Okay,
right.
So...
I just think it's in general. Right?
Yeah, I think it's in general.
Okay, just public safety.
Public safety. Safety.
Public safety.
Comes
up. All right, got it?
Well, it's almost all of them, but I do have one thinking, improving transportation or transit-oriented.
Okay, so well, let's do the thing. So is that TOD, or is that development, or is that transportation? Or,
I say it's transportation.
Okay, so improving transit and transportation? Okay, so improving transit and transportation. So, enhanced access and mobility. How's that sound? Okay.
Finding a way to balance economic development while not negatively impacting the quality of life.
Very good. Balancing economic development and quality of life. It's a challenge. I mean, again, most of your economic development opportunity is on the corridors with shallow lot depth, and residential is right behind it. So it's tough. It's tough. So balancing economic development and quality of life. Okay.
I'd like to see the Harlem Viaduct happen.
Okay.
I have infrastructure.
So
include that with
infrastructure.
Yeah, bridges, roads, or
I put a transportation. So go ahead. No, go ahead. It's specific enough. So Harlem Viaduct improvements.
Do you want to chair?
Okay.
Okay. Mine have basically all been covered, but I suppose an extension and related to traffic. Would be congestion, and perhaps it getting worse or not with development.
Okay.
You know, east of us, while the new building is going in Oak Park, how is
right.
that going to impact congestion on?
So, it's sort of eliminating it in the future or managing it in the future?
Probably a little
okay.
of both. I don't know that you're going to eliminate it,
right,
but
right.
can we manage it better?
Okay.
Particularly at Harlem and Lake.
So, I'd put traffic congestion / management, because as we get more and more development up and down the pike. You don't
it's
know what's going to come
somewhere.
Through here, right?
Right.
Okay.
And as someone who lives on a block that is already
right.
across through, I can only imagine how much more traffic when you get down Bonnie Bray.
Right. All right, Trustee Gibbs.
The elephant in the room. Revitalize North and Madison Streets.
Okay. Revitalize Madison Street and North Avenue. This time around, we'll probably be hitting some all minor up there, but let's go around one more time.
Okay, I had just general land use because we're landlocked. I mean, how do we optimize the land that we have?
Well, that's good, though.
To balance commercial
right.
and residential.
All right, that's good. So optimize land use, sort of the balance of residential and commercial. Good. So optimize land use. That's 17. Yep.
Well, to piggyback on that, too,
we have a ton of non-taxable property in town. I mean, Tom already touched on it with the colleges.
Yeah.
But, like, you joked about the dog park.
Yeah.
People like using the term green space. And I always say, well, you know, west of Thatcher, we have that thing called the Forest Preserve. And a great deal of River Forest is non-taxable. Not just commercial and residential.
Exactly.
I mean,
right.
You yeah. talked about the bike path. That's all going to be county. That, so.
Yeah. So we can run. We'll be running GIS analyses based on land use type, and we can sort of compare it to other communities to see where you stack up in terms of percentages.
You showed us that percentage once.
Right.
I guess 48,
yeah.
right?
Everything
yeah.
that wasn't taxable.
Well, I
right.
think there's
right.
a.
Can be a big number. Right. That's a
depends.
Big number. Trustee Cargi?
Only because you said I had five skunks.
You're good? Okay. Oh, skunks? Okay.
Yeah.
That's just
What is it?
Skunks, deer, raccoon. Wildlife. He's put wildlife, yeah, wildlife management.
No, specifically skunks. I don't care about the deer. It's the skunks.
I never saw one until 3 years ago. Now they're everywhere.
Really? Our dog's gotten skunked twice now this year.
I bet 3 or 4 times a week I walk out of my front house to find anywhere from 2 to 6 deer in my front yard. My Hassas don't stand a chance. They love those. It's like a salad.
That's like Bambi crack.
It's like a salad bar. It's right. I know.
Home preservation. What's some of the homes that we have that people like to keep preserved and what?
So historic preservation? Thank you. Okay, historic preservation. Good. That's good. President Ducey?
The only I can think of is a regional collaboration.
Okay, good. Regional collaboration?
I'm out.
You're good? All right. Trustee Conti?
Regional collaboration.
I'd really like to get a vibrant town center. I think that's part of development.
Now, are you thinking down where town center is,
no,
or are you thinking in the village center area?
Village center.
Okay, so sort of a vibrant village center area, and that would be, you can put in parentheses, Lathrop to Park, more or less. I'd really sort of like to push the envelopes of thinking about that with this plan, because we've never really done it before.
No.
Not in a long time.
I would just say Lathrop to Park.
Yeah. Harlem. Right. Okay.
I'm out.
You're out? Trustee Gibbs? Give you one more.
Well, I had complete the Lake and Lathrop and Lake and Park projects. But if you want to roll that into 20, is that the same as 21? Or
I think it's part of that. I think so.
Okay. Then this one's totally off the wall. But improve river forest influence and improve and increase river forest influence and participation at the high school.
Oh, that's good. I like that. Improve river forest participation and influence at the high school?
Yeah.
Okay.
Seems like we have no say on that side of Harlem anymore.
We're not balanced on the board.
No.
There's none.
And I guess kind of to piggyback on that, and something Patty talked about too is, you know, we don't operate in a bubble here, so we have development going on all around us.
Right.
And I just want to see us be proactive in recognizing what challenges and opportunities that's going to bring to us, you know, through this comprehensive
right.
plan. So how can we piggyback on that success,
right.
or how can we, you know, actually calm some of the...
So it's managing adjacent community development?
Right. And the impact that it's going to have on our
right.
residents and our quality of life.
So I'd say managing area development, or the impact of area development.
Instead of management, I like the word maximize.
Well, we know. I think what you're saying is some of it might be good.
Yeah.
Right.
Some of it might not be. Some of it might be negative impact, but managing
right.
and leveraging that. Right.
Right.
So I'd say managing/leveraging area development. All right. So we've been around a little more than 3 times. We've got 23 of them up there. I think we'll stop there just for sake of time. You may have a... Oh, sure. Go ahead. Throw one up there. All right, let's hear it then. Let's hear it. Definitely. Let's hear one.
Well, I've got a couple here, a couple of specific ones. My name is Bill McDonald. I'm at 803 Bonnie Gray. I'm a resident. My first one is for my own benefit, but you talked about it already. You need to develop a comprehensive bike plan.
Okay.
I fully support that. I put in thousands of miles in this village and Oak Park on my bicycle. So I certainly look forward to that. Oak Park is already committed to that.
Right.
The city of Chicago is very heavily committed to bike paths.
Right.
And considered one of the biggest bike path cities in the country.
Very good.
And so that's just one more. You won't like this, but hopefully the village trustees can work toward getting rid of the 2 red light cameras, because everybody in the world knows they're nothing but a financial grab and have little or nothing to do with safety.
All right. Get rid of red light cameras. All right. So, go ahead.
I'm Susan Elsier, 12 Ashland. And one is the lack of indoor gym recreation space or facility in our village. and kind of in conjunction with what Trustee Gibbs said, you know, there's discussion about cooperation with Oak Park for that, but the location that they're talking about is very far east.
Right.
So I think that that's an issue. And also just our kind of going to the landlocked, our landlocked schools. We're very limited in what we can do with increasing the school population. There's a lot of people that want full day kindergarten and there just isn't space for it. So I think that's another issue.
Okay.
And flooding would be a third one that I would mention. It seems like there's a lot of residences that have flooding that didn't used to, and I think it's just, it's an ongoing shifting
okay.
problem that's developing continues to happen.
Good.
Well, the first one was community
recreation.
Center? Yeah, like a
community slash rec center. Indoor programmable space for recreation. And then lack of school growth or school population growth? Is that what you're...
Yeah, so like landlocked space, schools right. can't really respond to...
Changing needs.
Changing yeah. needs, increasing needs.
Okay, good. And then the last one was flooding. Go ahead.
Move the Des Plaines River.
Yeah, right. I think I had the Des Plaines River running through my alley this weekend.
I think Eric has much more gray hair today than he did on
right.
Saturday.
Okay, so we've got 28, and for purposes of time, we're going to cut it off there. If you have other ones on your paper, again, we summarize them from your papers back at the office. But we've got 28 up on the sheets right now. So I wanted to move you then on to question number two. And that is from this list of 28. So you might want to stick that one on the wall so they can see them, Mohit. From this list of 28, and only from this list of 28, I want you to pick the three that are most important in order of importance, first, second, and third. You're not allowed to group them. Some of them are very, very close or related. That's okay. We will group them. You guys have to pick the three that you think are most important, closest aligned to your three. Paul, can you move that? So again, you pick the three, and just write down the number. You know, number 2, number 12, and number 25. You don't have to write the whole thing out. But from this list, the top three in order of importance from that list. All right? And if you can't read
what... Should we put it there?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go ahead. I'll do that, Paul, if you want to. And if you want to, if you don't know what one of them says or needs to be refreshed, let us know. We can explain it to you if you don't recall what it was.
Right. Just put it on
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Like the walking billboard. Yeah.
Put them in order. But like boxing cards. Yeah. Round one.
But just write down the number. Just the number, all right? Writing down the number prevents people from creating new ones and or somebody's collapsing 10 of them into one. And even if some are close,
yeah.
pick the one that you think best gets at it. So the top three.
And it has to be in order of importance.
In order, out of those 28, what is the number one issue to you out of those 28? What is the second most important? What is the third? But you got to pull from the list that this group created. You're done, set your pens down, and I'll know you're done. Don't answer three or four yet.
It's not a team effort, right?
Right. Are you guys all done? All right. Now, the reason we do this is a couple of fold. One, it's important for us to know what the residents think is most important, but I think it's more important for neighbors to hear what their neighbors say is important. And what I mean by that is we all sort of go through life experiencing our community in a pretty narrow swath. Trustees and other officials get a little bit more wider perspective. They're forced to, but a lot of residents don't. Business owners don't. And, you know, we always get the guy who sort of swaggers in and says, you want to know the five most important things? I'll tell you them. I've known it my whole life. It's about time somebody asked me. It's this, 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 and this. And then we do this exercise, and he might say, you know, boy, that the young woman who was sitting next to me came up with something. I never even thought about that. That's a phenomenal idea. We should be doing exactly what she said. And so we ask people to pick their top three, and I'd say about 60-70% of the time, people's top three aren't one of their top five, or aren't the five they issued in question number one, which means something that they heard at the meeting changed the way they thought about the community, and that's a good thing. So it's an important group exercise. So we're going to go through this. Mohit should have a red pen on him. I'm going to read these off, and if you had what I read off as your first, second, or third, I don't care which one. If it was one of your top three, raise your hand. All right, Paul will count them. We're going to write that next to it. It's not going to show a big difference probably with a small group. If you have 100 people in the audience, the top three or four things instantly get identified and the rest fall off super fast. So it's kind of a neat way to snapshot what is most important when you're forced to pick and choose. So again, I'll read it off. If you had it as one, two, or three, raise your hand. So financial responsibilities against the services offered. Anybody? Three, the issue of increasing taxes. Hey, we're gonna win. One, two, three, four, five. Traffic safety in general, or you can also put it stoplights. If it was one, two, or three, it doesn't matter which one. So change that to six. Increasing tax base.
I'm sorry,
the next one. All right, traffic safety. Just one. Strengthening property values. Three. The issue of aging in place. One. Establishing the appropriate mix of development types. One, two, three, four, five. Need to improve sustainability and environmental responsibility in the village. One. Making sure we get the best value for public services for the money spent. One. Need to update and maintain the infrastructure system and all that comes with that. One. The issue of sort of college or non-tax-paying consumption of services and they're not generating tax revenue. Nope. Issue of public safety, generally speaking. One, two, three, four. Improve access and mobility, transit and transportation throughout the village. Nope. Balancing economic development and quality of life. One, two, three, four. Improving the Harlem Viaduct. Nope. Traffic congestion and management. One. Need to revitalize North Avenue and Madison. One. We need to optimize.
Here's your lunch, by the way.
Pardon?
Here's your lunch, by the way.
He'll owe me a whole bunch of lunch. Optimizing land use, getting the right mix of land use. And optimizing it? Nope. Wildlife management. Darn horses. Historic preservation?
This is so hard because there's so
many. That's the whole point.
And some of them could be grouped together.
A lot of them can be grouped together, right? And we'll do that. To give you an example, we'll say, 30% of the audience identified economic development related issues as a priority. Here's the ones they identified. So we will loop them up in categories. The need for regional collaboration. Nope. Ensuring a vibrant village center, Lathrop the Park sort of area. Nope. Improve village influence on the high school. No. Manage and leveraging area development. Nope. Need comprehensive bike plan. Nope. Get rid of the red light cameras. Nope. Lack of community rec center, indoor programmable space. No. Lack of school capacity or ability. Which one are you for? The schools? Mm-hmm. Okay. And then flooding issues. All right. So again, you can see some of the biggest ones that we have up there. Appropriate mix of development, the issue of increasing tax base, and getting the appropriate mix of development types throughout the village are the top three. So, all right. So again, when we do this with a larger group, again, three or four usually rise to the top, and the rest fall off pretty quickly.
But John, I would contend you can. I would not say on the record none of these are important to me.
Correct.
I would say all of these.
That's exactly right.
We'll do this.
Right.
This and this.
It's exactly right, and this
so
is
I
why
mean,
we.
I,
and this
I,
is why we do this.
I want the rest to say
no, and this is why we do this. If it got on the list of the wall at all, I mean, somebody said, "Listen, you give me five things, and that's it. These are the five most important things to me." So right off the bat, anything on the list is important. And even if it doesn't get a vote, it doesn't mean we're not going to address it. It just means when you only get three picks, we're trying to identify where sort of the crowdsourcing priorities are.
And I hear you. I'm
right.
You can't increase. You can't be concerned about increasing
right.
taxes if you don't address some of
right.
these.
That's exactly right.
You can't have
right.
property values unless you address these.
And
so I just want to make sure
right.
that that's clear.
It's almost impossible to divorce these issues.
Right.
When you're talking about economic development, you're talking about getting the mix of land use right. To provide for aging in place, you have to get the land use right. It's impossible to separate them. Exactly right.
I mean, obviously, finance is a very important
right.
Sorry.
Right. So this now comes to our third question, and it is the most difficult question. It's one thing to say, these are the issues, these are the problems, these are priority areas. So as an example, so what we're trying to say here is identify three projects or actions that you would like to see undertaken. Now, the way I typically tee this up to residents at large is I say, okay, tomorrow morning, all the trustees wake up, and they've had it. They're going to move to Naples. They're out of here. And everybody's looking at you and saying, okay, you're in charge. We've got your back. You pick three things that you would start doing today to make River Forest a better place. What do you think are the three most important specific things, not general, like if public safety is an issue? You can't say, I'm going to do something about public safety. It's a pretty vapid answer. But you could say, listen, I'm going to make it a priority to hire more patrol officers to service the neighborhoods of this community. That's an action I'm going to undertake. It may be addressing an issue, but it's a specific action. Or I'm going to prioritize the redevelopment of Lake and Lathrop. That is one of my priority actions, is that site. You can't say I'm going to improve economic development. I'm going to do something about public safety. I'm going to fix traffic congestion. All right? It can't be those types. Specific actions, specific initiatives, specific things that you would like to see done. So you're in charge. It's all on you. The village will do whatever you want. You have to identify the three most important things. And I'm talking about project specific. I want to see what it would take to get things going. So if you could say, we're going to do these three things, this is my platform. We're going to do this, this, and this starting tomorrow. What are those three specific things you would do? So three specific projects, three specific actions that you would do to begin to make River Forest a better place and address some of the issues you think we need to address. It does not have to relate back to here. It may be something that doesn't relate to this list. Three things you would do if you were in charge to make River Forest a better place. Be as specific as you can.
Regardless of money?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I will typically say, you know, a big bag of money fell out of the sky and you can do whatever you need to do.
Cool.
Now, wait a second. Some people come up with, build a, if we can do anything we want, money's not an object. I'll wipe out the north end of town and put in like a Disneyland, whatever. But the reason I say that is because some communities will say we have a river running through the middle of our town. We have one river crossing, and it's killing us. We need a second one. IDOT says no, and we've been fighting for 20 years. I'm not even going to write that down. It costs too much money. If you still think we have to do it and it's a reasonable thing, then I want to hear it. So I don't want you to be hamstrung by financial realities, but I don't want you to be crazy because there aren't financial realities. So if something you think has to be done and is realistic and reasonable, I don't want you to say, but we don't have the money to do that. Let's find the money to do it. But I want you to be reasonable in your thinking. Three things you would do, be as specific as you can. No, it does not have to be out of this list. It does not, anything you want. Three things, you know, sometimes like communication will come up and somebody says like, I think we need to do a much better job of communication. I think we should hire a communication and PR officer and make sure that every line of communication with residents, business owners, organizations, institutions, and the village is as good as it possibly can be. I would hire a communications officer. Might not have to do anything with up here on the list at all. So three things, anything you want, but be specific. Now, while you're writing this, what do you think on average? This is pretty much true across the country when we ask like fifth graders what they would do to make their city a better place. I wouldn't say universally, but with a fairly large percentage, the three things we hear most often as top three. Anybody want to guess?
From kids?
Yeah. From kids, like fifth graders.
A pool.
Fourth or fifth graders.
Sustainability issues?
Ooh, not even close.
Pool.
They're not that advanced yet. Maybe
pool,
high school
parks,
kids, yes.
Yeah.
Pool.
Yeah.
Pool, number one answer, almost universally. It's if they don't have a pool, it's we need a pool.
Yeah.
If they have a pool, they want a better pool. And I've been in towns where the pool facilities are phenomenal and it doesn't matter. They want a better version of it. The second one is almost always whatever the fashionable fast food place is around here, it's Culver's.
Right.
We want a pool, we want another Culver's, and the third one is usually we want more trees. And the reason they get to that is when we grow up and we have families, I don't want to live in a place that doesn't have trees. So we better make sure there's trees here or I'm not moving back. And it sounds, it's literally, Culver's is usually number two. Pool is always number one.
Culver's coming to Elmwood Park, so huh?
Right. So that's usually the three. Pool is always number one, almost always.
That's funny.
For fifth graders. And it changes dramatically when you get it into like middle school and high school. Water park, pool. Right. They think big. It doesn't mean the only three things you would do, it just be the three the first things you would do. And just to give you a heads up, we're going to go in the reverse order.
Mm, thank you.
So, this morning,
do I have to say all three at the same time?
All right, so we're going to go ahead and go around. When I get to you, I don't care if you repeat something that somebody else has previously said. When we get to you, I just want to just sort of matter-of-factly say, you know, I would do this, I would do this, and I would do this. I just want to hear your three things. And it's funny, it's often a lot of disagreement. I remember doing this once. I think it was Bellwood. And the question we framed there was, what are three things you want to see and three things you absolutely do not want to see? And there's probably about 120 people in the room. There's this smaller elderly woman sitting in the front, and she's like, I absolutely do not want any adult uses. I do not want to see any gun or ammo shops, and I do not want to see any more liquor stores. And without missing a beat, the guy next to her, this older guy next to her, they worked together, took his piece of paper and threw it up in the air. And he goes, those are the list of three things I wanted in my town. So there's a lot of not agreement on this question. So, all right, Trustee Gibbs, go ahead.
Well, assuming that a TIF district is not a project, my first thing is to, we're so close that it's on top of my list of things to do, and that's tear down Ditchfield's building today.
Right. Read off all 3 years. That's a good one. Yeah, read off all three. And I would say, and we can add it to your list if you want it to be a fourth, and I'd say a TIF district is a project. But keep, go ahead.
Okay, then that would be my first one.
Okay. So TIF district on North?
Yeah.
And then tear down Ditchfield's building, and what's the last one?
Well, I didn't write down the TIF district thing.
Okay, that's fine. What are the other two then?
Well, to go along with Ms. Saltier's plan, present a plan to the high school for the River Forest Park District to develop an aquatic center for competition. My third one is relocate Public Works out of town and return the current Public Works property to the tax rolls.
Good.
I had the same first.
Okay.
Develop Lake and Lathrop. My second would actually be develop Lake and Park.
Okay.
And then the third, not as big, but I do think because it's an, you know, another entranceway to our community, is to get that viaduct done at Harlem and.
Right. The Harlem Viaduct. Okay. Mm-hmm. Very good.
I don't think mine are that ambitious. Same. Develop Lake and Lathrop. Develop Park and Lake, and establish a couple of good restaurants and coffee shops in the village center.
Nice. Very good.
Mine are probably a little far-fetched. First, Lake and Lathrop. Second, get somebody on the Oak Park High School school board from River Forest. And third, for our seniors, snow shoveling for the sidewalks throughout the village.
Right.
Hello, Eric. Eric, you got to go.
That's funny. I know Carla's looked at it.
That's a township.
No, that's
township.
That's a good one, right?
Township can be.
All right, so my big one is economic development all the way around.
All right.
Lake Lathrop, Lake Park, Madison, North Avenue. Revitalize.
Pick off the key sites and get them done.
Let's revitalize our commercial properties and corridors to help our property taxes. I think we need to work in collaboration with the community center to revitalize the community center. It is part of our community. It's a nice piece of a building that I think we all can make good use of.
Okay.
And we need to be creative. And then I'd say we need to ensure
I guess the best thing for the buck theory on our services. We need to make sure we have a mindful eye on our financials because a broke community is a bad community. Right. So we should, I think the project is we constantly have to look at our financials.
Okay.
Not in any particular order, but I had surveying seniors in River Forest for what their needs are, not necessarily restricted to housing, but also services
right.
in general.
Right.
So that's what I would do. Another thing would be, I don't know if I'm thinking of a public survey or at least another reevaluation. I'm new on the board, so this may have already been done. But a reevaluation regarding the historic preservation. I mean, I'm hearing a balance of people want to maintain it, but at the same time, people have rights to the property, and
right.
it's that balancing issue. And then evaluating whether the ordinance, I know it was revised a little while ago, but whether it still has the teeth that that it should have, depending on what the survey comes out with. Then the third thing I wrote down is improve maybe communication on the crimes that are occurring in River Forest so people know more about it.
Okay.
As opposed to, you know, reading it maybe in the Western Wednesday Journal or something
okay.
along those lines. So.
Right. Good.
Well, since you said money was no object, I said improve the viaduct.
All right.
Let's
right.
pay for the whole thing ourselves.
Right.
And then something I'd raised during the campaign, but I still think is important, is attracting. I called it a big box in March, but it's got another name,
right.
like Junior or something or other. Some sort of retailer to North Avenue.
Right.
And then aggressively developing Madison.
Okay.
You know, especially like that gateway at Lathrop and Madison.
Right, from Lathrop all the way over to like Ashland or Franklin or all the way further over. Probably Franklin or Park, yeah.
I would complete phase two of the Northside Sewer Project.
Okay.
I would hire economic development director to help us navigate all this great
all
development
it, right.
that we're going to do, and help our administrators and, you know, kind of gather all these
right.
things under one umbrella, solve the pension problem at the state level,
right.
and really advocate for
well, that's a big bucket of money.
You got a better
right.
chance
no,
at
right.
Disneyland.
Well,
right.
hey, you said what are the wish lists,
right.
so that's something that, it, because it affects all
right.
of us,
you
and
bet
it's
it does.
A huge financial
right.
Implications to us.
Right.
I did too say Public Works, look at that, and then communication obviously is
okay.
big key.
Very good. All right, now to wrap up, the last one is to identify the greatest strengths and assets of the community. And the reason you have to do this is if all you focus on at the beginning of a project is what you want to change, what the issues are, and what you think needs to be redone or done differently, you often end up ruining what you had that was good because you weren't mindful of it. An example of this is, you know, back in the late 60s and 70s, urban renewal sort of spread across the United States as a federal program, and it targeted all these little downtowns in the Midwest to try to make them economic engines for these little towns that were struggling. And they did it by taking vinyl siding and putting it over that great architectural detail. They took away the pedestrian atmosphere and put in parking lots and made it more for our vehicles. And 40 years later, now it's number one thing small towns are doing. They're undoing all of that because back when they did it, they said, we want to make these places economically viable, but they didn't say, what's most important? Sense of place, pedestrian environment, charm and architecture, keeping these things as most important and protecting them, then how do we make this an economic success? But they lost sight of what was most important, and they ruined all of it. So the question is, what is best about River Forest? What is most important in River Forest? You know, you bring up history, the architectural preservation. You know, if we lose sight of all of that and redo every historic structure, that'd be a big loss. So what's the balance there? So what is most important? What is best about what we have so we can identify it, protect it, and enhance it going forward? So as you've written some of these down, just sort of raise your hand or throw one out there that you want to share.
Schools.
I'm not going to go around. Schools. Very good.
Sense of community.
Sense of community.
Location.
Location. Regional location. Is
housing great. Stock.
Housing stock.
Yep.
I guess the same thing, but proximity to downtown Chicago.
Yeah, yeah. The proximity, the regional location is great. Yeah, I mean, this is a community that's defined by its incredible neighborhoods and schools. I mean, it's tree-lined streets, the variety of housing stock, the historic. It's just.
It's safe.
Yeah, it's safe. Right.
Fiscal stability.
Right. Right. Financially very strong. All right. So what we'll do is we'll be collecting these. This is a similar type of a questionnaire. We'll take everybody else through as well so we can compare and contrast answers. If you're a trustee, put a T in the upper right-hand corner of your paper because I want to make sure I include yours as well. But this works up. I want to make sure we keep the elected officials as separate. Then when we do other community outreach with residents, we'll be able to lump all those together as a body as well. So Don't put anything at the top right corner of yours. We'll collect those with all the rest of them. I want to make sure we do.
We don't get our own code.
Pardon?
We don't get our own.
You can put an R at the top if you want. How's that sound?
How about R for residents?
That sounds perfect. Put an R up there. Now, Eric, do you want me to try to?
You want to use your computer? Because mine gets funky with that.
Mine's really good.
As long as we've got John,
you don't
here,
put your name on it, it's worth nothing.
Yeah, I just want to run you through it real quick.
So the most popular, number two, I don't know how you guys feel. I'm just going to talk while these guys are fiddling with the electronics. My response to residents, I mean, most recently somebody said to me, are you concerned with all these, you know, million-dollar houses for sale in town and the taxes? And I said, well, I asked him, bluntly, I said, have you asked the school boards that question? Because people think, they see their tax bill and they think the village. And, you know, we're such a minor piece of that formula. You know, I hope that the other elected bodies go through the same process we do with fiscal responsibility stuff. So
was the is the question, Mike, that they were concerned that there was many big houses for sale? I missed that, I'm sorry, earlier.
To some extent, that was
well,
part
that would
of his
help
comment.
The property taxes. That should help the property
no,
taxes.
No. He was concerned that the people with the big houses were moving out. That was his point of view.
Well, that's why this is important. Because you really want to keep your property taxes.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm talking about, number two.
but also why five is important.
But what they need to realize
right.
more, what the point I'm trying to make is that the portion that the village takes of the tax bill is substantially smaller than the school districts.
So one of the things we're working at is we have a whole host of online engagement stuff. And one of them is an online map-based engagement platform we developed called Map Social. We're actually business partners with Esri. They're the corporation that makes all the GIS stuff for all the cities around the world. And so we go out to San Diego a couple times a year in Redland, California, and work with them. And when they develop new stuff, they sort of let us take a look at it before it hits the market, sort of apply it to planning scenarios. And we developed an outreach platform called Map Social or Map.Social. And one of the things that we're doing right now, and I was talking with Devin Levine, my business partner earlier, we're developing a GIS portal for all sorts of information we're going to be developing for this. It'll be a whole library of interactive maps of everything we produce that residents can go in, play around with. It's pretty cool. And one of the things we're able to do with this is in some communities, we will engage and create thousands of points of interest from residents all over the community. There's no way to gather and assess and test what that means. And how else can you gauge input from thousands and thousands of people all in one point? So with this, we can. And it's on the project website. And one of the things we're developing, we worked on it today, and we're going to be working on it with village staff, is direct links that will take you to the questionnaire, direct links that will take you to Map Social, direct links that will take you to the project website, and we'll be sending those out to everybody. But this is what, if you go to the River Forest Comprehensive Plan website, there's a place on there for Map Social. You click on it, it'll bring you to this. And I'll just give you a sense of what it looks like. If it's working. Let's go back out. Yeah. I know, right? So for every community, we create a legend of different things that you can map. So here we have community assets, and you can see them over here. Community assets, development priority sites, where you can actually use the tool to draw squares around sites or whatever shape. It'll automatically fill in, and you can type in whatever you want. Problematic intersections, public safety concerns, undesirable uses, key transit destinations. I don't have a mouse. I'm doing this sort of with the mouse pad. That's okay. That's all right. Desired uses or development, port appearance, or other, if you want to have anything else on there. And you can go to, so this is just a map that's already on the website right now. And you can go to, You can query it by all features and look at every point anybody made. And so there's only one map on here now, so you're only going to see one person's map. But if 1,000 people create maps, you'll be able to click on View All, and you'll be able to see a composite map of everybody's points. Or you can say, listen, I'm only interested in economic development. I want to see the sites people want to see redeveloped. You can go down there to redevelopment priority sites. Everything else disappears, and the only thing on the map will be sites people want to see redeveloped. And you'll see all the comments as to what they want to see them redeveloped for. And you can do that with problematic intersections, public safety concerns, any topic. So I'll just click on this one and see if we can get it. And you can choose your background, whatever kind of map you want. So it's a little touchy with the keypad. I know, right? So I'll zoom into here. And if you click on it, like, so the square ones here, I'll go down a little bit if I can. All right. Yeah, you should have, you can do this, believe it or not, you can do it on your phone. Easier than you can do it on a touchpad. So let's go to like this site right over here. You can click on any one of these, and what will pop up is what the comment is for that box or what that comment is. So I can click on this one. It says, can we finally do something about the appearance of this site? This is the gateway to River Forest, ! I think he's talking about Pizza Automotive.
Can you like that
line? You can. So look. So you can click on this, and you can thumbs up or thumbs down. All right? So you can like or dislike other people's comments. And you can click on...
And are so, these like, your we did comments, Joe?
Pardon?
Are these your comments?
This is just a test page.
That was Pete.
Yeah, that was Pete. So you can see here, so like, you know, so this is one that will probably get some support in this room, I'm guessing. The public works facility should be relocated and the site redeveloped for townhomes or multifamily purposes.
I did not.
So you can click on any, so well here's Washington and Thatcher. The lane configuration should be changed and merged to one lane west of Thatcher to create necessary gaps in traffic flow heading west on Washington. So this has about 40 points of interest on it. And you can get as detailed as you want from any one of the categories we've created. And I can't query it. I can try. We'll go to Map Gallery. Because right now, so there's about 37 or 40 points of interest on this one map. 37. So I'll go to like, here's development priority sites. Let's say I only want to see those. And then the map will only show those and nothing else. And I can click on any one of those to see what the person said. The center should be modified to accommodate a mixed-use multi-story component with residential on the upper floors, maybe something 6 to 7 stories in height. That's where like Whole Foods is. So again, right now you're only seeing this from one map, but if 300 people filled out maps, you'd be able to see all 300 people's points of interest.
Could you tell me what you said for that one?
Me? You're assuming I said these.
I said he.
Oh, okay,
I said
good.
I'm just curious.
Redevelopment site for retail or mixed use and possibly include one or two residential lots to the north.
What is that site?
That's the TCF Bank site, I think.
I'm just curious.
So it was saying redevelop the site and possibly include one or two residential lots to the north in the commercial development to expand it. So, and the nice thing is about this, we're able to take these. If, say, public safety was a big issue, where do you not feel safe? Like, this is being used by communities all over the globe. What's the name of the community in Australia who's doing it? Belina, Australia has been using it. A lot of universities are using it to map where students aren't safe on campus. And when we get enough points of interest, you can do a hotspot analysis, which is like a heat signature of where the activity is in terms of the points of interest. So for this one, we've got about 10 different categories. You can create as detailed the notes as you want. You can thumbs up or thumbs down on anybody's comments. And we can take all points of interest and query them onto the city's GIS database as a mapping tool. So we did this in Fort Dodge, Iowa, for instance. We had just thousands and thousands and thousands of points of interest. And there's no way we ever were able to get that data had we not had a tool like this. So it's active now. You could go on and do it from home right now, but what we're preparing is hyperlinks to send to people in emails along sort of an invitation like, say, hey, take 5 minutes, create a map, what do you like or don't like, what do you want to see change, click here, register, and you can create your own map, see what other people are saying. So we're creating those hyperlinks to send out to people in email blasts. But it's active right now. This was done this afternoon.
Can we give random vehicle sticker awards for people who fill out?
Sure.
Like a raffle.
Sure. That'd be good.
I mean, how do we motivate the people to do that?
When you send those emails, will you leave it open-ended for people to, or will you try and channel, particularly as we go through the process, try and channel what you want them to?
No, we won't channel. We at no point do we want it, unless when we start crafting recommendations for consideration, we'll say, what do you think of what we've done? What do you think of these concepts? But until we get to the point of generating content for feedback, we want to keep it as open-ended as possible. But by the very nature, this says, you know, redevelopment sites, problematic intersections. It gives a group of about 9 or 10 categories, and then it has an other as a category.
So we encourage people to do it.
I think, well, the thing is getting it in front of people's faces, it's, you know, and you know, if you all tell people, you know, if you all do it, if you tell people to do it, the Plan Commission tells people to do it, when we interview groups or have workshops, you know, hopefully we'll pack the, you know, say the Willard, let's say we do it in the Willard Auditorium, we have 80 people in the room. I'm just going to say, first, before we get started, I'm going to walk you through the project website, and when you go home, click on this and fill out, it's word of mouth or through newsletters or other things is the best way.
So how do you determine critical mass for something? Like if you only get, let's say you get, you know, 20 responses on North Avenue, and they're all, hey, redevelop this site.
Right.
Don't redevelop this site. It seems like there could be a little bit of a,
yeah, it's
you
not,
know, coercing it, the data.
It's the same way. We don't claim that this or the online questionnaires are statistically valid. That's okay. Why we call them questionnaires and not surveys.
Okay.
It's like if you have a workshop, you get 100 people to show up. That's a good turnout for a workshop. That's a great turnout for a workshop. It's not statistically valid representation of River Forest.
Right.
So if someone says something, you don't say, yeah, but only two people said that. You say, you know, that's a great idea. We should look into that.
Right.
So what it does is it brings issues to for investigation or consideration. Or, and sometimes you got 1,000 people, and it's one person who comes up with an idea that nobody else did. You're thinking, like, oh, my God, why didn't more people think of that? So it's not statistically valid. It's not most votes gets addressed and other ones. So it's like an online crowdsourcing engagement platform where we get ideas.
Yeah.
And we see okay. where priorities are. But it's by no means the determining factor or a limiting factor. Yeah.
Okay.
So it, the website's up. It's active. We're tweaking some of the questionnaires and other things. But you'll all be getting direct links to it in the next day or so. And but it's all ready to rock and roll now. So. All right.
It looks good.
So that's the plan is to send it out to the village's email list?
I think we should send it out to anybody and everybody we have. I don't know why we wouldn't. And on that would be, at a minimum, I think, four links, a hyperlink to the website itself, the project website, a hyperlink to the questionnaires, a hyperlink to map.social, and then a hyperlink if they want to download like a DIY kit for a classroom or something.
Have you thought of incorporating the other agencies, like their email list? Like we're doing the collaborative
sure.
committee.
We could do all of that. In some communities, we did a big outreach campaign for Downers Grove, and we actually designed in-house encoded banner ads for the chamber, the park district, the school district. So you go to the school district website, they had like those banners, and they would rotate through outreach banners for the village comprehensive plan on like the other jurisdictional websites. So if they're willing to do that, we can do that for all of them.
Yeah.
Can I have a question? Are we specifically looking for just residents and business owners? Like, for example, you have the two universities. I mean, are we interested in
residents, business owners, or state community stakeholders? And that could be someone who works here, doesn't own a business, or doesn't live here. It could be a student who comes here every day. If you're a stakeholder, that's defined pretty loosely. So residents, business owners, stakeholders, students. You don't have to live here. You don't have to own or stop here. You know, maybe you visit your family here all the time. Maybe you're a student here. Maybe you're an employee at Jewel or Whole Foods or whatever. You should still be able to comment. And the survey, map.social doesn't get at it, but the survey queries or asks the questions, do you live in the village? Do you live in a neighboring community? Do you live in downtown Chicago? Do you work in downtown Chicago? Do you live do you work locally? It asks a few questions so we can query sort of who's answering the questions. But map.social does not. The questionnaires do. Map.social doesn't. We can set it up to require a ton of information to participate. Most communities say we want point of entry to be no questions. We just want people to do it. But some communities are like, they have to be a university student, so they have to type in their name, their student ID. Mm-hmm. And if they don't, they can't get access to it. So we can set up the point of entry features, required fields, to be whatever you want it to be. Right now, there's none. You have to register with an email and a username, but that's anonymous. But if there are other requirements, you have to know the name, you have to know the address, you have to know whatever, we can require those fields. Right now we don't, but we can.
And can you go on to this more than one time, or is it only one time?
You log on with your email and your username to create UMAP. You can keep going back to your map and modifying it. You can view anybody's map or composite maps, but you can keep updating yours if you want to, or you can view other ones and like them and dislike them or comments. So we can say, like, boy, this comment from this guy's map was the most liked point of any of all of them or whatever. I suppose you could go on, and if you had several emails, you could go on and create several accounts.
So one vote, one email?
Yeah, right. You get one voice, one email. And whenever we do this and whenever we do the online questionnaire, people always say, well, if it's the point of entry is clean, it doesn't require detailed data fields, then somebody's going to go in and, like, jack up an answer for one community issue. We monitor that. It's never, ever, 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 ever happened. The one place we thought it might be happening, because we noticed that they were all coming from the same set of two or three different terminals, and there was a Motorola facility in the town that had mm-hmm. thousands of employees, and employees were filling it out on the lunch break using the terminals in the lunchroom. It was about 8 years ago. But then when we realized that, we then went back and looked at the surveys coming from the same IP address, and none of the answers were, there wasn't like the same answer over and over and over again. So we knew it was just different people using the same terminal. So those issues never materialized. And to prevent the fact that if a couple, somebody did go on there and say filled out three instead of one, we say it's not just statistically valid. That it's just we want to see people's ideas. So it doesn't matter if you fill it out once or three times, we're going to get your idea.
I'm worried about
board with that.
Yeah.
We could talk to them as a partner. I think throughout the process, we should make any produced materials available there, hard copy at the reference center for people to go check out and look at and give it back in. And certainly they could access this via the terminals of the library.
Sure.
You could do that with any terminal, access this.
How do you prevent, I mean, obviously you want the people that live here and work here to have the most influence over the plant. So how, I mean, is there a time where, you know, you're going to have outside influence which may skew the results?
Again, I don't know that outside, no, just an, I don't think people have enough to do in their lives and to try to weigh in and sort of hyperload the map.social website.
Never know with these
River Forest Comp plant
conditions these
but
days.
Again, we can create the field, required fields of entry could be address, are you a resident, are you not? We can query it down to what you want. Most communities don't want point of entry to be virtually anything. They just want people to participate. Sometimes if there's one,
I'm just worried about you don't want to skew you know, having Oak Parkers or Forest Parkers coming in and giving their opinion and then having that be as valid as people that live here.
But they would be potentially consumers.
Well, I understand, but I'm just saying you don't want.
But we can
how do you monitor?
Yeah.
Well, that's the good guess.
In the registration field, we can activate a field that says, like, you know, are you a resident? Are you not? We can put in a couple of fields.
I mean, here, this is another tool to solicit feedback, and it's a new online engaging way. It's not meant to be the end all be all.
Right.
I think to John's point, I mean, if people are going to go on to this thing and load it up to try to skew the data, I'd be shocked, unless there was a single issue thing like a Motorola. But it's a way to say, hey, here's a cool way to look at something from a different perspective.
Well, that's why I asked the question about statistically,
right.
You know.
It's not.
I'm not worried about it.
Right. It's almost impossible to have a statistically valid online engagement tool, because the point of participation is, even with lots of, but if you have three or four things to say, we only want, people are going to be like, yeah, I'm two fields in, I'm out, I'm not, this is not.
I think what we're trying to do, too, is recognize that there is a saturation point for people with engagement. So the school district wants you to participate on things, the park district, all these agencies, and it's hard to get to public meetings because the old school comp plan was everyone showed up to the gymnasium, you had your public input, and everyone went on their way. And we're still going to do that, but if people can't make that or they're just too busy to do so, here's just another way to.
I'm not looking to exclude anybody.
No.
But like John said, it's not too much to ask a question. Are you a resident? Are you a business owner?
But they're all going to, they could lie,
too. Since we do have 4,000.
They could lie as well. They could say I'm a resident.
This is just math.
It doesn't mean we can't ask them.
Right, we can. And on the online questionnaire, we do ask those. We say, are you a resident? Are you not? Do you work here? Do you live here? So in the questionnaire, that's the more...
Okay, so the questionnaire is specific.
The questionnaire, those are questions that are baked in.
That's fine.
But for MapSocial, it's an online map that you got to go around and drop in points and
people don't do that unless they have a vested interest in it.
So there is a distinction between the questionnaire.
Oh, yeah,
and
very much.
Okay.
Yeah,
that answers my question.
Yeah, they're two separate things.
Plus, the other reality is it's not as if anything that gets mapped here or even put in the questionnaire, we're just automatically going to implement.
Well,
it's going to be looked at and researched and gone through, go through all our processes to decide if this is what we're going to do or not anyhow.
So I can like or dislike somebody's comments. I can't just sit there and jack like. It won't let you do that. You can like something once because it knows where it's coming from. So there's a lot of limitations baked into the mapping software.
John, just quickly, two things. I did check out the website, and it looks great. It's nice and clean and very easy to go through. Just to clarify, in terms of your the events that you want to attend, like the truck, food truck event, what would you do at an event like that?
Well,
what kind of response did you get there?
We probably got maybe 20 or 25 postcards filled out, something like that.
A little bit more? More? John's giving me the up.
About double that, so 50 or so? Okay.
So you're asking people to fill out a postcard?
Yeah, they came up because the village had sort of an informational
booth
yep. there. Mm-hmm. People would come up to sort of check it out, or they'd say, hey, here's a little clipboard, fill it out, and turn it back in. And so those of you just have to sort of take opportunity where those events arise. And as long as we know about them in advance, we can plan to have collateral there, questionnaires there, maybe staff.
What's on the postcard? Are you asking similar questions to?
What are some of the biggest issues facing the village? What's the number one thing you would do to improve or reinforce? It's a point of contact, pretty quick hit, because they're there to get a beef and a piece of pizza. So you got to get just a real quick hit questions and let it move on.
Right. Okay.
But if you got 1,000 people gathering anyway, that's a good point to get in front of them and ask them a couple of questions.
Mm-hmm.
So, the idea is you hit as many people as you can through several different medium sources or medias and hope that through casting a really wide net collectively you get a good response. If one thing doesn't, DIY kits don't catch on, but Map Social and the online questionnaires go gangbusters, then we're capturing who we want to capture. And that's, you throw it all out there and you realize what you get.
One other thing, do you ever map in terms of cell phone carriers where it's best in a community, what's
never
not
done,
working
never, like
well,
where the
not,
signal is strong or where it's not.
Yeah,
strong,
just I know it was a Facebook post recently.
I know the signal is worse wherever my kids are because they always say that they can't. I didn't see your text.
Somebody had on Facebook, there was a whole conversation about who has what carrier and what works best in town. And
I don't have that Geiger counter of cell service to see where it's good or bad.
I never saw it. The companies did that.
I would think they would as well. But I don't know.
That's how Village Hall got
to do it.
I believe that. Yeah, it's the little bars on the corner of your street. It's like you got to sit there. All I know is Whole Foods is horrible, and so is Jewel. All that. You're in there shopping. I have Verizon. I get no signal.
Really? I get a signal.
So, but anyway, that's our show.
Okay, it's good. Yeah, I'm on the website too. It's great. Awesome.
We try to keep it real simple.
Yeah,
so
it's really simple.
And out.
Thank you.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay.
Village Board meeting next Monday.
That's it.
Okay. Yep. And remind the trustees we have a meeting next Monday, 7 o'clock.
Yep.
So,
we look forward to working with you. I think it's going to be a
yeah,
good project.
It was
not just because I live here, but we're sort of advancing the country with regard to technology and planning. We're sort of nationally known for that. So we've already talked with Eric and Lisa and John. We really want to showcase anything and everything that tech is doing right now in the planning fields that nobody else is doing. And sort of to the extent we can, use River Forest as a guinea pig to roll out some new things that nobody's seen before. So we think it'd be kind of cool.
So we can get another plaque.
That'll
be awesome.
Be bigger.
That's good.
Bigger,
bigger and better. Right.
Bigger, better.
Yeah. So, John, thanks a lot. This
Thank
was,
you.
I think, very productive, and we look forward to having all these discussions and in all these community meetings. So, with that, I will adjourn the meeting.
Motion adjourn.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor.
Aye.
Ayes have it.